Okay. Now, today in this country, it is known as Mother's Day or Mothering Sunday. Now, it's not a standard biblical holiday, but rather a day that has developed in which some people pay special attention to their mothers. Now, some people have said that traditional biblical doctrine is unfair to women. In fact, you were mentioning that this morning, that some people talk about that, concerning leadership and place in the church, or maybe rather old-fashioned and outdated, keeping a woman from being influential. These people do not understand the scriptures, and they don't believe the scriptures. And they fail to see the fact that women and their influences have literally changed the world. There is a poem by a chap named William Ross Wallace that says, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." The influence a mother can have upon a child is enormous. It can shape the lives of an entire generation and change the world. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, now just to help me during this time to say that which you would have me to say. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In fact, in my research concerning Mother's Day, I found some interesting quotes. I found, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Abraham Lincoln. He's kind of an influential guy. You ever heard of him, Abraham Lincoln? Another one is, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All that I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." George Washington. You know, that little rebel upstart in this colonies. But also, "The future destiny of a child is always the work of the mother." Napoleon Bonaparte. "And I cannot tell you how much I owe to the solemn word of my good mother." Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He was a great preacher. He started off not too far actually from here in a village called Teversham over near Cambridge, and went on to pastor the Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle in London. Had great revivals. Today he is known amongst evangelical circles as the Prince of Preachers. Now, even according to my research, Roman Emperor Constantine, his mother was a Christian. And it was he who ceased the official persecution of Christians, even though he himself did not openly profess Christ until much later in life. There have been other great influential mothers, like the mother of Moses. In defiance of the Egyptians' law, she saved and hid her child. Because at the time, there's a law in Egypt, because the Israelites were held captive. The law said, if a child is born, if it's a male child, then it's to be taken away and killed. Well, she, in defiance of that law, hid the child. And then through an incident with the daughter of Pharaoh, God allowed her to be able to raise up the child and nurse him. And eventually, he was used of God to deliver the people out of Egypt to serve the Lord. Even Christ himself, when he was upon the cross, ensured that his mother was taken care of. And remember, he was born of the seed of the woman, so as not to inherit the sin of man. See, a woman, a mother, is the vessel of the Savior of the world. So in reality, we see that a woman is not of a place of lesser importance, but a place of honor, not of diminished status, simply a differing role. You know, it has been said that in the home, the man is the head of the house, but a godly woman is the heart. Now, that was my introduction to my introduction, just in case you were wondering. And now, because mothers have such a dramatic influence, and indeed fathers and other relations as well, it is vital that everyone must teach their children to do good. Now you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. Does this mean if I do not have any children, I can go back there and get some more tea and cakes and stuff and just sit back and chill? No. You know why? Because we all have children to teach. All of us have children to teach. You see, all of us, we teach children one way or another. Even if they are not your direct physical offspring, they will learn from you. There are physical children, there are spiritual children, and even just a younger generation that you can influence. See, if they can hear you or see you, they will be taking in information. If I take Max out and he sometimes hears somebody say a new word, oftentimes he will try and repeat that word. Hopefully the word is a good word. Because if somebody says a bad word in front of my son, I tell them, don't use that kind of language. Thank you. And he'll try and repeat it. You guys remember when those three ladies from Texas came over to visit with us for a while? The two young ones and the slightly older lady. Yeah, they came and visited with us for a while, and they stayed in our home. Well, a little while after they left, I was just talking with Max, and suddenly he blurted out, "Yeehaw!" I did not teach him that. I did not teach my son how to say, "Yeehaw!" You know, they taught him that. They are not his physical parents, you know. But he learned from them. You know, it's a Texas term. You know, this is either of celebration or if you're actually on a cattle drive, it actually means something different. Though we were not on a cattle drive, I think we were exploring the intricacies of the relationship of Bob the Builder to Muck and Scoop. Those of you who have children understand that. You know, it's the diggers and stuff. It's good. But yeah, he came out with a yeehaw. Like, what? Your actions will teach as well. Because, I mean, if you're out on the street being loud and cursing, you are teaching that that behavior is what adults do. I mean, you know, if Mike and Sean just sat around the Albana's house, sitting at home, they're drinking beer, smoking, cursing, playing video games, just being general layabouts, that would be teaching praise that is acceptable behavior. You know? And we understand that if they started to do that, you'd probably hit them with something, and that's fine. And you have your pastor's permission. That's not a problem. You just beat them. That's it. Just beat them, beat them, beat them. Yes. So now you know. And if you need help, just call me. I'll come over and beat them. That's not a problem whatsoever. We're a very family-orientated church here. Yes, it's a wonderful thing. And if I'm sick or something, I'll ask Joel. Or if you're really in trouble, I'll get Laura. So, that's a word. Well, one thing you definitely do not want. See, you know, that's how I learned to drink and smoke, because my parents did. You know, I learned to drink because, you know, I used to drink and I used to smoke. Why? Because my parents did. My dad would have me go and get him beers from the fridge. And I'd open the beer. And while he wasn't looking, as on my way in back to the front room, I'd take a little sip. And then we started doing the same thing, you know, with whiskey and stuff, you know. I knew how to mix drinks before I knew how to tie my shoes. And I'm serious, I did. I knew how to, you know, put drinks before I could tie my shoes. Not that those two things are related, but, you know, I learned because of their actions. I watched him, and I learned. Because after all, if mommy and daddy do it, it must be good. So, and, you know, whatever I am doing, Max wants to be involved with. Whether he's invited to be involved with it or not. He wants to be involved. You know, daddy goes in the shed. Max wants to go in the shed. Daddy tries to Hoover. No, Max wants to Hoover. You know? If daddy has tea, Max wants tea. If mummy wears a hat, Max wants a hat. You see how that progresses? Although it doesn't actually always work well with broccoli. You know, if daddy has broccoli, Max doesn't sometimes actually want the broccoli. But that's okay. We'll work with that. And you know, it's the same way for those younger people who look up to you. You know, Max wants to go to church because mommy and daddy want to go to church. Now, you might have noticed, because of the quietness, Max is not here this morning. Not because he didn't want to go, it's just because we believe he's coming down with chickenpox. And, you know, even though as believers we share all things in common, some things we just don't want to actually share. You know, you don't want us to share his diseases with you. So, you know, we've kept him isolated. And so that's why he isn't here. But he wanted to come. He grabbed his hat and he grabbed a bag. He's like, I go to church with daddy. I'm like, no, buddy, you can't go to church with daddy. You're sick. You know, you're a big festering thing. No, he wanted to go because I want to go. He's developed that desire because that desire is in his parents. Max wants to pray because mommy and daddy want to pray. You guys were there, most of you, when during the prayer service where Max said, he was talking, I said, you got a prayer request? He says, I have one prayer request, to pray for mommy and daddy. And he's not even free till next Sunday. He's like, oh, man. He wants to pray because mommy and daddy want to pray. And you know, and that can be easily be the same because of, you know, this child wants to do something because maybe their uncle or their aunt or their cousin or some of the cooler older kids do something. They want to do it too. And you know, even adults teaching younger adults. In Titus chapter 2 verse 1, the Bible says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Kind of sounds like some of those qualifications for a deacon we were talking about. The aged women all likewise. Have I got that up there? Yeah, okay. That they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste. That doesn't mean you actually just being chased around. That just means more... Yes. I'll just have a, you know, chaste, pure. Keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. And you know, all of us can have a part in this type of ministry through our words and our actions. Well, you might say to me, but you know, I haven't learned that much to teach others. Well, you work with what you know, and the rest you learn as you go. You know, I mean, maybe you've learned just two or three biblical things. Well, there's bound to be somebody in your life that doesn't know those two or three biblical things. So those things you can teach to those people who don't know. You know, there's lots of people around here that don't know that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for your sin. You don't need to know much Bible to know that, but there are a lot of people that don't. That's something you can teach. You know, whatever you know, you can produce, you can teach, you can help them learn, just to have the right kind of attitude. You can be an example of growth. And you know, not only will it help the younger people, but by you being an example and showing an interest in growing in Christ, that is an encouragement to those older in Christ than you. That encourages me. You don't know how much of an encouragement it is that I see the growth in your lives. You know, I see the difference in the answers that you give when Joel asks the questions. You know, I was like, wow. They get it. They understand. And that encourages me. He's like, yeah, it's a good thing. But why? I mean, we all have children to teach, but why should we teach them? Because it is your responsibility. It is our responsibility. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, this is the standard. Now, some children will wander off as they have their own free will. But you know, the lessons you learn as a child will stay with you. They will. I don't know how many times I have used the exact same phrases with my boy as my father used with me. You know, the same words come out of my mouth sometimes as came out of my father's mouth. You know, and the same, not all the same words, obviously, because I tend to moderate my speech a little more than he does. But you know, those lessons, they don't depart. You know, you become more and more like your father. You know, you become more and more like your mother. You ever found, you know, you were saying something that your mother said to you, to your child, and you just stopping yourself like, I can't believe I just said that. That's what my mother said to me. Now I understand. It's the old mother's curse. I hope you have children just like you. But yeah, those lessons you learn, they'll stick with you. So it's important to teach the right lessons. Those patterns, I mean, they emerge almost without thinking. That way, we should ensure the patterns that we give the children, those examples we set, are good ones. Psalm 127, verse 4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Now, when I first read that verse, I thought, what is that supposed to mean? Does it mean that they are potentially dangerous unless you keep them locked up? Are these children made of wood with a head of metal or stone? Or perhaps because they go shooting off, leaving a swathe of destruction in their path? No, I mean, no matter how amusing the comparisons may be, there are at least two things which effective arrows and effective children have in common. Firstly, they must be pointed. Now, I'm not speaking of sharpness or having their edges honed, although good teaching should give them a keen mind, but rather direction. See, both arrows and children should be given direction. I mean, shooting without a target is simply a waste of ammunition, because you don't know where it's going. In fact, I see these pictures in on the films where people just shooting up in the air. To me, that's dumb. To celebrate, they shoot up in the air. Yay! Bang, 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 bang. That's a waste of ammunition. And not only that, that can cause some serious problems if there are aircraft in the air. Now, it's shooting without direction. It's no use. It's a waste. And the same thing with a child. If you don't have any direction for them, where are they going to go? We need to give them direction. We need to give them something to aim for. And you know, they can alter the specifics as they progress in life, but putting them in the right direction is a good start. And the second thing, arrows need to be propelled. That is, given an initial driving force. This would be encouragement and motivation. You know, it takes time for a child to develop self-motivation. Until then, you know, it must come from another source. It takes time for them to be self-motivated. You know, to want to do the things that are right. It's difficult. Sometimes you need to encourage them to do that which is right. Encourage them to pick up their clothes and sort their shoes and, you know, actually get out of bed. At the moment, I don't have that difficulty with Max as far as getting out of bed. I have the difficulty getting him back into the bed. Like, no, let's go play now. Another story? It's like, no, I've read you three stories. Get in bed. But, you know, it's difficult because they don't have that self-motivation to do that which is right. So we need to give them that motivation. We need to give them that propelling to push them in the right direction. Because if you have pointed your child in the right direction, you don't leave it at that. You encourage them. You encourage them to stand out from the crowd in the right kind of way. To have higher ideals and loftier goals. Ensure they understand about honor, commitment, the difference between right and wrong. You know, that's a difficulty these days. They're having to go back into schools now and teach, what do they call it? Things like ethics. To actually teach them the difference between right and wrong. 20 years ago, they didn't need to do that. Because, you know, they had the biblical influence was there. They heard what was right and what was wrong from this book. They didn't need to teach them ethics. But you pull that book out of their life, there's no standards. There's no right and wrong. Everything is just, will I get caught or will I get away with it? That's their idea of right or wrong. If I get caught, oh, I guess it was wrong. If you don't get caught, I guess it was fine. Not part of the message, but it's in there, you know. We need to make sure they understand the difference. Now, it's going to require some effort on our part. But you know, the rewards will far outweigh the effort. We cannot be passive. We cannot just let the child make up their own mind. That's dangerous. Remember, your children, all people, are sinners by nature and by choice. You know, in my preparation for this, I asked my son a couple questions. I said, Max, which would you rather play with? A cushion or a landmine? Any idea what his answer was? Doesn't make any difference. What did he say? Landmine. That's what he said. No hesitation whatsoever. You want to play a cushion or a landmine? Landmine. I said, You want to play with a soft toy or a rocket launcher? Rocket launcher. I mean, you got these weapon inspectors that go into these warehouses and stuff. You know, if they want to find out what the most dangerous thing in that warehouse is, they don't need multi-billion dollar technology. They need a five-year-old or a three-year-old. First thing that child goes to, guarantee, will be the most dangerous thing there is. You know, if you give the child a hammer, he will find the most expensive thing that there is. You give him a bowl of soup, he will find the thing that is the hardest to clean. Instantly. That's they're prone for destruction. They are built, they're sinners. And they don't have that regulation in their life that we have as we get older. Some people have, some people don't. Some people don't have that regulation at all. You know. But we need to be careful for them. We need to give them that guidance. They're like a tracker dog for dangerous stuff. They will make bad choices left to their own devices. Remember, someone is going to influence them. Someone is going to direct them in life. You need to make sure that somebody is you. Amen. I mean, I do a lot of reading as far as the newspapers and things online and just the garbage that is being proposed that they teach to our children. It is horrendous, some of the stuff. Some of the stuff that I didn't learn until I was like, well, some of the stuff I just didn't learn. But other things, you know, until I was 14, 15, they're talking about teaching that kind of stuff as far as sexual behavior to 3- and 4-year-olds, to 5-year-olds. And not just the normal stuff. All kinds of stuff. If you don't believe me, check out the, you know, things like the Times Educational Supplement online. Just do a quick Google search for the stuff that they are proposing to teach our children. Even the Speaker of the House. It's annoying. It's really annoying. And if we do not keep an eye, if we are not vigilant about what is being taught to our children, what influences they have, we should not be surprised when our children end up as hell-bound sinners. When our children end up as drug addicts or drunks or in some kind of wickedness. We shouldn't be surprised if we don't set that example of what is right. It's a burden. It's scary. That kind of responsibility on you, that like your child is looking to you. These children around us are looking. And what are we teaching them? What are we showing them? We need to show them that which is right. Not only should we teach our children to do good because it is our responsibility, but also because it is our privilege. Second Timothy verses 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and onwards into verse 14. It says to Timothy, Paul is writing here, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. And in verse 14, there it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You see, Paul refers to Timothy as a son, even though he was not the young man's physical father. He refers to him as a son. Now, from what we understand, Paul had led this family to Christ. So, spiritually, Paul has a part and a privilege in helping the education and growth of Timothy. However, it was Timothy's mother and grandmother that had taught him the scripture, because they were diligent in teaching the laws and statutes of God, because they were Jewish. They were awaiting the promised Messiah, and Timothy had been taught from an early age about him. You know, they had the scriptures. The scriptures were there. Week in, week out, they were teaching him those things. So, when hearing that the Christ had indeed come, they were prepared to receive him. You guys remember when they talk about Ken Ham, and he talk about as if you were preaching to the Jewish people that already had an understanding of the scriptures? Well, they were prepared. You didn't have to start in Genesis. They knew about Genesis. They knew about Exodus. They knew what God had done. Well, Timothy would have known all about that stuff because his mother had been teaching him the scriptures from an early age. He knew the scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. So when hearing, like I said, he was prepared. But with the things that you are teaching, what are you preparing those people whom God has allowed you to influence to receive? Are you preparing them for the ways of the Lord or the ways of the world? Will they learn more about Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world? Or will they learn more about who is got through on the next round of the X Factor? Will they learn more of David and Goliath? Or David and Victoria Beckham? What are you preparing them for? Because remember, it is your choice what you will teach. So now, we know we have children to teach. All of us have children to teach, whether they're ours or somebody else's. We all have influences. Or just a younger generation that you're influencing. We all have people. And we probably even have some idea of the direction that we should teach. But how? How do we teach? Well, we teach them daily. In Deuteronomy 6:4, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. You see, it's a very simple plan. It starts with you. You love the Lord. You put his words in your heart. Then you take those words from your heart and you teach the children. When? When you sit down together. Prayer before a meal is a good idea. You know, it's a good thing. You know, other times as well, family discussions after church, maybe review what they had learned and what you have learned. You know, what did you learn in Sunday school today, buddy? You know, this, that, and the other. You know, what did you learn, daddy? And what did you learn, daddy? And you go, you know, you need to pay attention. In fact, I think I'll start asking the Lord to tell the kids to say, like, what did you learn? Yeah, it'll be fun. Keep you on your toes. we'll see about that. But you know, you discuss what you learned, both of you. Also says, teach them, you know, when you're walking around, and when you put them to bed, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when you're walking around as you go through this way or that way. You can speak about the Word of God. When thou liest down, when they go to bed, you can have prayer with them then, when they go to bed. You know, it's every now and again, it's okay to throw in a Bible story as a bedtime story. You know, as long as it's a suitable Bible story. You know, yeah. And the children were placed in the furnace. No, it's nothing wrong with teaching them then. You know, when they're going, getting ready to lie down. When they get up in the morning, that's a good time. A great time for prayer. When you wake them up, or when they wake you up, sometimes. You know, those words in verse 8 should be evident in your actions. See verse 8 there? It says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. The things you do with your hand should be reflecting the commandments of the Lord. Where are you putting your hands? What are you doing with your hands? Are they reflecting the commandments of the Lord? As frontlets between thine eyes, your outlook on life. Are you looking at life from the world's point of view? Just the amassing wealth or power or possessions? Or are you looking at things from God's point of view? Seeing which souls you can have an influence upon for the kingdom of the Lord. It should be evident. Should be evident that your house is one that honors the Lord and His commandments. Where it speaks about, thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on thy gates. You know? Because sometimes they actually physically nail some scripture. Do they still do that?
Oh, yes.
They physically nail scripture to the doorposts and such.
And then they wear phylacteries, which are little boxes filled with scripture,
mm-hmm,
in front of them and on their sleeves sometimes, the Orthodox
Jews. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and see, that's. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily suggest that, because, you know, you can if you want, but it's better to be in the head than on the head. It's better for those words to be in the heart than on the heart. It's one thing having them on the doorpost, but having them as the structure that your home is built upon is far better. Now, when people come into your house, they should know that your house is different from some of the other houses. They should recognize that, hey, I don't know, but I think some Christians live here. You know, somebody breaks in your house, you know, they should, like, wait a minute. Bible's over there. There's no dirty magazines. There's no bottles of whiskey and booze, and there's no, you know, wickedness here, and there's nothing wicked to steal, because thieves like to steal wicked stuff. There's not very often you find thieves stealing Bibles. I just don't find that often. They don't usually steal Bibles, unless it's like a Gutenberg Bible, which is like worth millions. But they don't. So keep good and righteous things in your house. The people, it should be obvious that your house honors the Lord and His commandments. And that is how you teach them to do good. How do you teach your children to do good? By you doing good. But it starts with you receiving the Word of God in your heart. And who is the Word? Book of John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14 it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now that is speaking of Jesus Christ. And if you want to have that Word in your heart and in your life, then you need to receive Him as Savior. If you want to be able to teach righteousness, then you need the Son of Righteousness. If there's never been a time in your life that you've realized your condition as a sinner, as we all are, and you've never repented of your sin, that is to turn away from it and toward Christ, you can come today and you can find out how to know truly the Lord as your Savior. And believers, perhaps there's also something we need to repent of in some things that we have been teaching. Maybe some of our actions, some of our attitudes, or our careless words. See, we have this great opportunity to do good. So let us really do it. Let us really teach our children this week to do that which is right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask You, Lord, help us. Lord, help me to do what is right. We fail You so often, Lord, and the responsibility is great. Lord, I know that I don't want my child growing up the way I did, without the knowledge of Your Son and Your sacrifice. Help me, Lord, to do that which is right, so that He may do that which is right and bring honor and glory to You. And Lord, if there's any here that do not know You, let them come and ask. Find out to see what the Scriptures have to say, how to know Christ as Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our closing hymn is number